I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of
welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always, always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His precious, very real presence in your life. Here's a question for you, and it's not rhetorical. I actually want you to answer it, and you just it's just my favorite thing ever when you text, because it helps me know we're in this together, and you're so real. I'm very real, and I just love doing this faith journey with you. So here is probably a few questions. Pick which one you want to answer. How well does your view of you line up with God's view of you? Do you think there's a big gap? Do you think you're way off? Do you think maybe you're facing in one direction and he's in another? Here's another question. Are you on your way to discovering the person Jesus created you to be? Or do you feel stuck in the sameness of life, but you long to get unstuck? Any of those questions, tell me how you're doing. How do you suppose your view of you lines up with God's view of you? Do you feel like you're on your way, like you're in the process of discovery, where things are being awakened within you and God is showing you new aspects of His character and new parts of you that He wants to heal and bring to life? Or do you just sort of feel stuck in the sameness of it all? You can text me, 877-933-2484. My friend James Bryant Smith joins me today to talk about his amazing book. I love this book, The Good and Beautiful You, Discovering the Person Jesus Created You to Be. This book is like a healing balm for the soul. I've got a handful of copies to give away. And who doesn't need this message, truly? You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. This is what Jim writes. It's actually Dr. James Bryant Smith, but he's my buddy. All right, listen to this. The Christian faith is not primarily about belief and practices. It is primarily about what kind of people Christians become. God designed us with a deep longing in our souls to be wanted, loved, alive, and connected to God. In Christ, we're all of these and more. When we live into this reality, we become the unique person God created us to be. I don't want to waste another minute. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Dr. James Bryant Smith is the author of the Good and Beautiful series, which includes The Good and Beautiful You, which we're talking about today. He's the author of several other books as well. He earned his MDiv at Yale and his doctoral of ministry at Fuller and is a theology professor at Friends University in Wichita, Kansas, where he also serves as the director of the Apprentice Institute for Christian Spiritual Formation. He's an ordained United Methodist minister and has served in various capacities in local churches. And I love him. Jim, welcome back to the show.
Susie, it is so good to be with you. I love you too.
I am looking so forward to this conversation. I just am. I just, you know, whenever I talk with you, or I read the stuff you've written. I know my heart, it's just always good for my heart. So thank you for the way that you've stewarded your call over the years.
Well, and right back at you, I feel the same way about you. I mean, in your books, your talks. I mean, I was just actually this morning for fun reading Your Beautiful Purpose. I was rereading.
Oh, wow.
And it's just so good. I mean, wow. My highlights are everywhere.
Wow.
So, and you know, it's kind of interesting. Our covers look the same.
You know, beautiful they purpose. Do.
They cut the purple, So maybe that's, kindred spirits.
Indeed. Indeed. Well, you've been on plenty of times before. You know that we love to start just in a very personal way and wondering, as you spend time with the Lord, what's He been talking to you about these days?
I have been, you know, I love 2 Corinthians 3:18, which reads, and all of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. And what I've been thinking about is, I mean, the image that Paul's giving us there is like, we look into a mirror to see our face, which we have to do, which is a wise thing to do once in a while, at least. But when we look in the mirror, we expect to see our face. But what Paul's saying is, when we look into this mirror, we see the face of Jesus. And I think about like the man in the mirror, that whole idea of, remember the Michael Jackson song, I'm looking at the man in the mirror. But you know, if I look at the person in the mirror and I see me, I'm in trouble. But I look into the mirror and I see Jesus. In doing a practice that I've been doing for some time now. And it is to to spend time just contemplating Jesus and seeing his face and being face to face with Jesus. I call it mirror time. And and I've been doing that for the last few months, and it's really been transforming for me. Exactly what Paul said, we're transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. So I hope that as I look into that mirror, the mirror where I see the face of Jesus, I'm becoming more like him.
Amen. You know, I shared this on last week, one of the shows last week, but I got to share it now again, just because it fits so much with the good and beautiful you and even the passage you chose. But years ago, Kevin, I just started asking God to speak to us in dreams, because we're like, you know, I know denominationally there's just different ideas about it, but if it's in the Bible, I'm going to ask for it. And I've struggled to sleep a lot. So the idea of God speaking to me in dreams is just sort of, you know, pretty awesome. And I'm not saying he does that all the time, but every once in a while, I'll wake up and I'll like, I know there's something here that God wants me to see. And I just am going to share this, Jim, because I think it may encourage you as well. But in the dream, I'm like at this camp / resort, but it's more campy. And I don't work there, but I'm very much at home there. And I know the staff and, you know, I'm amongst people. I just know I'm in the fabric of that community. And the long table, all these newbies were sitting down. They were about to place their breakfast order and get the information on the camp. All the staff were busy. So I said, I'll do it. I step in and this is what you can expect during your time here, and giving them all their stuff. But the funny thing is, when I would go from table to table, like from the long table to go fill orders, I'd push off one table. And I don't know if you've ever seen the American Ninja Warriors. Have you ever seen that show where they're just ultra uber athletes? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, yeah. So right. That was me. But I was a gymnast too. So like I was pushing off of a table while I'm going to get an iced tea and doing a full twist or a flip and a pirouette. And I'm like pushing off this table, doing this thing. And I'm just joyful and I'm glad and I'm super healthy. And then I'd bring them back their iced tea. And then I'm just having the just best time in my element. And in the far distance, on the wall, dark dingy wall, I see this rectangle old mirror that was rippled from age and very dim, silver would dim. So you could barely see a reflection in it. But when I kicked my leg up really high and I was doing this really cool, I happened to glance at that mirror far away and it was nothing like what I was doing. And my heart sunk and I thought, is that what I look like? But in the moment I knew in the dream, I'm like, oh, that mirror's lying. It's not telling me the truth. And then I woke up. And I told my friend about this, who's just a major intercessor, and she said, Susie, that the camp and everything, that is you in your element with your people serving God in the sphere he's assigned. And she said, the mirror, she says, is just a reminder that you'll never be everything God wants you to be and accomplish all that he wants you to accomplish if you're taking your cues of you from you. She says, because the mirror lies. Mm. She says, isn't that good? And I just thought, it's just such a goofy dream, but I have returned to it again and again thinking, how often do we diminish our value, our sense of calling, or even our enjoyment of life because we're looking at an outdated picture of ourselves?
Absolutely. That's beautiful. That's very profound. Wow. Yeah. That is so good.
I know God wants this for us. I mean, this really is speaking of your book, to kind of grab in our chin, to get us to look up and maybe pay attention to and untangle some of the narratives that are toxic to our soul. And we're going to dig into some of those, but you've got this Good and Beautiful series. How did this one, the Good and Beautiful You, let's make it even more personal. How did God awaken you, Jim, to the value of your soul to the point where you're like, just because something feels true doesn't mean it is true. Like, how did he do that for you?
Well, pretty early on in my Christian life, I was hearing messages that were sort of like, you're really awful, but God is good. And if you have faith in Jesus, you might make the cut when you die. And I understand that's how some people present our faith to people, you know, it's to get people to see what God has done for them, that you're really awful. But God in his grace has done something good. And I picked up those narratives in my head that I was pretty rotten. So to believe that God loved me without condition, that God loved me as I am, was very hard for me. So throughout most of my ministry, that's what I've worked on. I wrote a book in 1995 called Embracing the Love of God. And then, you know, I'm sure you know, Susie, we write to ourselves first. Mm-hmm. And I was helping myself embrace God's love. So it's always been important to me to communicate that message of God's unconditional love for each of us. But when I did the first book in the series, The Good and Beautiful God, I was hoping to help people develop the right narratives about God. And the subtitle is Discovering the God That Jesus Reveals. And that was the hope of that book. And I think it has been helpful to people correcting some of their pretty toxic views of God. And then I wrote a book called The Good and Beautiful Life, which is follows the Sermon on the Mount. And then The Good and Beautiful Community, which is about how do we live together as Christ followers in community. So I thought the series was done. And then I was in England, actually, and there was a guy who had used the books in many church settings. And he said to me over tea, because that's what you do in England, he said, Jim, you're missing one book in the series. And I said, wow, that's pretty bold to tell an author he's missing a book in a series, but I'll bite. I said, Joe, tell me what it is. And he said, The Good and Beautiful You. And something really hit me. I knew at a deep level that he was right. And he went on to explain, he said, your book, The Good and Beautiful God, helps people correct some of those really bad narratives about God that we pick up. But he said, in my experience in ministry, Jim, people have equally toxic narratives about themselves. And if there's just no getting around that. And I see this in ministry. And he said, I really hope you would write that book. And I knew that that was right, but I also wasn't personally at a place where I was ready to write the book. So I sort of tucked it away. And then a few years later, it reemerged that it was a time for me to begin writing that.
Wow, I love that story. I did not know that. And that, again, that to me speaks of restraint as far as going, okay, there's a seedling here, there's life here, but there's also seasons for those things. And I love that you just dared to trust God, and then he brought it up, and the time is now. So, and we need it. I mean, you think about what a traumatized people we are all over the world with the things we've walked through and toxic narratives of God and of ourselves. This is such a powerful time to release such a powerful book. We're going to break here. When we come back, you talk about 10 things that our soul cannot endure and 10 things our soul needs. We're going to walk through that list one by one and kind of face head on some of these toxic narratives, and we're going to take them down because you can't live with them. Your soul can't handle it. Mary says, I'm learning to walk free of old messages, identity of that I'm annoying, I'm a burden, I'm too needy, I'm not desirable, and I'm growing less self-conscious and more God and others conscious. God has provided an online support group with personal coaching and workbook materials, so she's going after it. Talking to Dr. James Brian Smith about his amazing book, The Good and Beautiful You, Discovering the Person Jesus Created You to Be. That person is wonderful. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live, talking to my friend Dr. James Brian Smith, who just released another amazing book. This one's titled The Good and Beautiful You, Discovering the Person Jesus Created You to Be. Every soul needs this book, I'm just saying, because we all have blind spots where we live with narratives that are toxic to our soul, that maybe are an incorrect filter of how God sees us and how we see God. So it's so good to go after that stuff and maybe challenge some of the things that we've sort of allowed to linger that have impacted us in a really negative way. Got a handful of copies to give away today. You can text the word book to this number, 877-933-2484. And Jim writes this, I pray that you'll discover the good and beautiful you that Jesus created you to be. I pray you'll see yourself with wonder. Think about that. See yourself with wonder. See yourself as sacred, even though you're flawed and broken. I long for you to know that you're loved by God, forgiven for what you've done, and made alive by the power of Jesus' resurrection. Amen and amen. All right, Jim, let's talk about the 10 things you say that our soul cannot endure. First one is harm to our bodies. Say more if you would.
Yeah. Well, let me just quick intro to the soul. And that is that when I first started writing the book, one of the big questions is, what do you have to say that hasn't really been focused on? And you go into self-help section of any bookstore, you're going to hear a lot of stuff about trying to think well of yourself. But what struck me as I was studying, it took me about 3 years as I was working on it, was the nature of the soul, and that That is a distinctly Christian view. We believe that we have a soul, that we're all embodied souls. And the secular view of the self is that we're just an independent organism that's an accidental mass of fermenting cells that's here for a time and dies and doesn't exist. And that's, I work in the university. So in the academy, that's the accepted view of the human person. We are just an accidental little lump of some cells, and evolutionary biology has kind of won the day. So to talk about the soul is you can't do that in our world today. And to me, that's the way to understand the nature of the human person, that we are embodied souls. And so in the book, I try to talk about the nature of what that means to be an embodied soul as a sacred being. And those souls, each of our souls, has built in, I call them factory loaded needs and things that they make our souls suffer. And the first one is dealing with our bodies, as you mentioned in your question. And that's how we know instinctively that our bodies are sacred. And so when someone does harm to our bodies or to someone else's body, if we see it, I mean, we saw that on the Academy Awards, forgive me for being relevant for cultural stuff. We saw a person slap someone, physical assault. It hurts us because we know instinctively that our bodies are sacred. And if we've been victims of any kind of assault, we know that this is wrong because our bodies are sacred. The culture that we live in treats our bodies as commodities, and we value ourselves on the basis of how we look. And we think that our bodies are just these things for others to see and enjoy or use or whatever. But deep down, we know that our souls, our embodied souls are sacred and should be treated as such.
Wow, appreciate that context so much. And you think about, we have a doctor who's one of my docs, but we have him on the show once a month, and he talked about the harm we even do to our own soul and ourselves when we hold ourselves into self-contempt. He said it does as much harm to yourselves to hold yourself in contempt as it does to have any kind of disease, because he said it's like having one foot on the gas and one foot on the brake at all times. And he said we're wired for love, or we're made for love, and our cells actually open up and receive better nourishment when we're loved. And if we're bracing for impact, everything shuts down. So it's pretty interesting if either we're being harmed or we're harming ourselves through our own berating narrative, you know?
Oh, absolutely. You know, my wife and I were on a we were on our date night, and I have these questions that we use. And one of the questions was, if one of your friends talked to you the way you talk to yourself, how long would they be your friend? And that one just rocked us. Because, I mean, we both admitted that, man, our self-talk can be so toxic. And if I had a friend who talked to me the way I sometimes talk about myself, they wouldn't be friends very long, that's to be sure.
So true. I remember, you know, I used to say I could kick myself, like if I would mess something up. And I remember the Holy Spirit's like, do you kick anybody else? No. And that would be wrong if I did, you know. But that's the stuff that we settle for and live with that we don't even realize. So, okay, another thing that our souls cannot endure is the feeling of being unwanted. Say more.
You know, I mean, I think we've all had that experience where you walk into a room and you very quickly notice that you're not wanted, that people are not happy to see you at worst, but maybe are like, oh boy, I really wish that he or she had not walked into the room. That's deeply painful to us. It's something that really hurts us at a deep level. That longing to be desired, to be wanted is, I believe, and all of these we're going to talk about, Susie, I believe God implanted all of these needs and desires in us, in our souls. And so when we experience that, it is incredibly painful because all of us want that. And conversely, if we walk into a room, like one time I walked into my wife surprised me with a surprise birthday party, and there were all these people cheering and excited. I mean, wow, my soul just lit up that there was this sense that I was wanted and desired. And that just feels so good. Not narcissistically. It's not that at all. Because I said, it's built into our souls. So it's not just, I want to be thought of as better than someone else. It's just, we all want to be wanted. We all desire to be desired.
It is amazing how some children heard that they were unwanted, you know, from their own parents as children. And you think about some of the things children endure. And I always say the enemy sees your potential long before you ever do. Just go to your childhood. The first time you felt like you were not enough, you can see his threat against you, so connected to your threat to him. And yet you see people, Jim, go on and do great things where God gets a hold of their heart and they get a sense of, no matter what you said to me or you thought of me, I'm going to go with what Jesus thinks of me. And they go on to do great things while others stay very fractured because it's so painful that they can't get past it. I mean, it's just so painful when you think about that, you know?
Absolutely. And you use the word fractured. I think our souls get fractured. I mean, they can endure these things. Unfortunately, we can endure a whole lot. But we weren't designed for it. And the fact that we suffer under this tells me this is not what we were made for. And the good news is that every one of these things that our souls simply just can't endure or make us suffer, Jesus is the answer to all of them, which is
awesome.
That was the other thing that was the big light that came on. I mean, we talked about harm to our bodies, and Jesus came as a body. And we as members of Christ are members of his sacred body. And at every turn, Jesus was showing people the sacredness of their bodies and the dignity of who they were, healing physical illnesses and so forth. And Jesus is the one who shows us that we're wanted. I mean, I love the line from O Holy Night. And then he appeared and our soul felt its worth. I mean, that's the Christ event tells me I'm wanted, I'm desired. And that's a beautiful thing.
Just got about a minute before our break at the bottom of the hour, but just that one truth, Jim, how did that impact how you've gone on to do some of the things God's called you to do?
It's what carries me on, to be honest. I mean, Jesus is my communion with Christ that I'm so grateful. I started early as a believer. I worked with a guy named Richard Foster and he taught me how to pray and how to be in solitude and silence and connect with God. And that's carried me through some pretty rough times. And I don't know where I'd be without that, without Jesus being the one to speak to me, just as he's spoke to you, Susie, so many times.
So good. Talking to Dr. James Brian Smith today, his book, The Good and Beautiful You. Don't you love that title? Subtitle is Discovering the Person Jesus Created You to Be. And friend, I'm just going to go out on a limb and ask you, you know, when you think of how you perceive yourself and even what you know about Jesus, what you've even heard from my guest today, what would Jesus say to you with a smile on his face? What would he say to you as soon as he got a look at you? What would he say? I mean, I want you to step out in faith and give me your best answer. Picture him smiling with a smile that goes up to his eyes. And he sees you, Darlene or Harwood or Julie, whoever you are watching today, listening today. What would Jesus say? I'd love to know. Don't go away. More with James Brian Smith in a minute. That's just absolutely true. He makes all things new. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to my friend Dr. James Brian Smith about his beautiful new book, The Good and Beautiful You, Discovering the Person Jesus Created You to Be. And I think all of Jim's books are just healing balms to the soul, and this one especially so. We've got a handful of copies to give away. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. In the book, Jim outlines 10 things that our souls cannot endure, and then he follows that with 10 things our soul needs. And we walked through harm to our bodies, and then the parallel here is what our soul needs is to see our body as sacred. We're going to dig into that in just a moment. But the second one we delved into was feeling unwanted. And then our soul need is to be wanted and desired. The third one is guilt. And the contrast is to be loved without condition. So talk about how toxic guilt is for the soul.
Yeah, I mean, guilt and shame is they're pervasive in our lives. And you know, I mentioned earlier the dominant view of the human person is that we're a self, we're this isolated individual in competition with other people to establish our worth and significance. And the culture that we live in defines our worth on the basis of how we look, what we have, and what we do. And that is the accepted metric that everybody buys into. So we see a person, we see what, well, their physical appearance, and we evaluate them on that. And then what they have, their social standing, their finances, their material possessions, and then their talents, right? What they can do, their accomplishments, their achievements. That's the system that we live in. So we live in a culture that automatically is a shaming culture because no one really measures up in those areas. Even famous celebrities who are attractive and wealthy will talk about feeling shame because it's just, you can't win in that system. That's the way it's designed. So we have a tremendous amount of shame, and the deep longing for our in our souls is to be loved without condition. Because all those three things, how I look, what I have, what I do, those are conditions. And my longing in my soul is for someone to love me without any of those conditions, to love me no matter what. That's what I really want. If we find someone loves us because of one of those three things, we just inherently distrust that love. But we long for that unconditional kind of love. And again, we find that in God through Christ. That's where I found that to be real. And that's in Jesus, I find that he loves me. He knows the worst about me. He knows even the worst I'm capable of. And he loves me without condition.
Boy, I think the more you identify with the one who loves you without condition, Jesus himself, and even friends who see you at your lowest, because, you know, what you have and what you how you perform and how you look, we're never in peak performance in all three of those areas at any given time. I mean, we may be, you know, hitting it one day and the next day falling on our faces. So it's such a fluctuating, unstable metric, as you say, but to imagine and think about the idea that on my high days and my low days, on my high producing and my producing nothing days, his love is the same. He loves me the same. I feel like for me, Jim, the more I make it a point to kind of see myself as tethered to that kind of love and goodness, it seems to help the opinions of others lose their power. Where I care about people, but what they think, what their fluctuating opinions just seems to matter less and less, you know?
Oh, you nailed it. That's exactly right. When you have established your worth in Christ, then the opinions of others don't move us in the same way. It's not that I don't care about other people's, let's say, evaluations or if someone wants to give me a critique or something, but I'm not thrown by it because I know who I am. I'm Jim in whom Christ dwells and delights. That's my fundamental identity. That doesn't change from day to day. That doesn't change if people say good things or say bad things. That remains true day to day. And that's the foundation upon which we can establish an identity.
Mm. So we're walking through a list of 10 things that our souls cannot endure. That first one is harm to our bodies. And friends, whether that's someone who's harmed you or the way that maybe you harm yourself and the way that you berate yourself. Two is feeling unwanted. Three is guilt. Fourth one is shame. Say more.
Yeah, I mean, that really gets at that idea. I mean, we feel guilt for the things that we've done, and we feel shame for who we are. And in that sense, there is the possibility of good guilt. Because if I, for example, I don't know, I tell a lie to someone and I should feel bad about that. Guilt has the opportunity to be good if it moves me towards some kind of change. So guilt is for what we've done. Shame is feeling bad for who we are. And shame is actually never good. I ought to feel bad about some of the things that I've done, but feeling bad about who I am, that's an affront to God, because God designed me before the foundation of this world. God designed every person listening right now. God foreknew you before the foundation of the world. God divinely designed you, desired you, made you perfectly in the form that you are, in the time that you were born, in the culture and family. Everything is perfectly designed by God. There aren't any mistakes. And that's the truth of who I am. And that's the antidote to shame, is to saying, no, I was divinely designed, divinely desired, and I am exactly who I ought to be. Even if this world says, well, you're too short, you're too tall, you're too hairy, or for me, you're bald, whatever it is, you know, we criticize but that I am perfectly designed as I am. And that's the antidote to our shame.
Praise God. Somebody's got to give me an amen for that. I love this. You said, and this is the chapter on being desired. You said, do you even realize you're hurting God, the artist, when you dismiss or devalue the good creation he made in making you? Hear this again. Do you realize you're hurting God, the artist, when you dismiss or devalue the good creation he made in making you? And we talked about humility before on the show, but it bears repeating here. Sometimes we confuse humility with false humility, and false humility is that self-berating. That doesn't honor God, and it doesn't even glorify Jesus in any way to act like we're nothing and to talk like we're nothing, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, I think it's C.S. Lewis who said, humility is not thinking less of ourselves, it's thinking of ourselves less. It's recognizing I'm not the center of this universe, and that's a wonderful thing. But it's not to think badly of ourselves. I agree with my own sentence that you read. Thank you. I mean, it's an affront to God for me to do that. He designed me perfectly, and I may look at myself and see areas where I wish this was that or whatever. But God sees us and says, "No, you are exactly who I want you to be."
Love that. Okay, harm to our bodies, feeling unwanted, guilt, shame, disconnection from God is another thing that our souls just cannot endure. Say more.
Yeah, well, you know, Blaise Pascal had the famous quote that there's a God-shaped hole in the heart of every person. I believe he was spot on. And again, our souls come factory loaded with a need to be connected to God. That vacuum, that hole, it can't really be filled by anything else. We'll try. We try to fill it with money, sex, power. We try to fill it with fame, accomplishments. And, you know, for a moment or two, it feels like they filled it. Maybe it's being a fanatic over a team or something. I mean, we got to serve something. So we're going to seek that out and give it a shot. But all of those other things are batting zero. They just never fulfill the needs of the soul. And I believe that's the spiritual dimension of the human person. Our spirits are created to be connected to God, something bigger than me. I need to be connected to something bigger than me, and not just, some world event that's bigger than me. I'm talking about the creator of the universe, like the person who designed everything, including all the cells of my body that work together. That's who I need to be connected to. Mm-hmm. And my soul just inherently knows it.
Amen. Amen. I love that. This one surprised me. Our souls cannot endure boredom. Wow. Say more.
Yeah. We were made for an adventure, and instinctively we know it, that it's why we love Indiana Jones movies, Star Wars movies, Lord of the Rings movies. It's Harry Potter, whatever it is. I mean, there's something inside of us that wants to be connected to some kind of an adventure. And if I have to go to a theme park and ride a ride, that maybe that'll do. But the greatest adventure happening in the universe is this divine conspiracy called the Kingdom of God. And it's been advancing across the globe for over 2,000 years. Well, more than that when you look at the people of Israel. But the Kingdom of God has been happening, and it is the most exciting thing that's going on. I mean, that I get to wake up today and say, I am a part of this unshakable Kingdom of God, where God's going to do something amazing today. That's what I'm made for. I'll take the amusement park if that's all I got, but I want something bigger.
Oh, I love this so much. It makes me want to jump up and down and shout it out. You know, I'm thinking about when Jesus sent disciples and followers away two by two to go change the world.
Oh, yes.
I mean, think about that. I mean, really, a couple here and a couple there, and they're going, well, the kingdom has come. The Messiah has come. I mean, he lived, he died, he rose again. They went out from their little tiny corner of the world. And I know you've done this. When I travel all over the place and I meet a believer who I've never met before, and they're the other side of the country or maybe even other side of the world, and there is a synergy between us because God's been telling us the same thing. I mean, that is the supernatural miracle of being part of a kingdom. They're doing their thing, I'm doing my thing, and it's like we've known each other forever because there's this synergistic nature of we're walking with God and we're following him, and he's teaching us things that we can have almost instant fellowship. To me, it's just such a miracle. Like you said, this kingdom cannot be shaken.
It's beautiful. And even, you know, Susie, our friendship, I mean, our mutual friend, Amy Carey, who's the president of the university where I teach, she's like, you need to meet Susie Larson. I'm like, Susie, who is this? And then I meet you and I get to know you and I read your books. And then you come and we speak together at this conference. Then I'm going, this woman is on fire. Mm. I mean, you're a part of the adventure and you're on my team and I'm excited about it.
That's so powerful. I love that so much. Okay, our soul cannot endure sin. And this is so important, Jim, when you think about how people have watered down the gospel to the point where it's not gospel anymore. When there's no more need for atonement and sin is kind of a bad word, you deprive people of actual resurrection power in their lives if you can't talk about sin. Our souls aren't meant to harbor sin. So speak to that one if you would.
Yeah, I mean, this is a hard one because sin is just so real to us, our own sin. We're very aware of it. So it almost feels like I was made for it because it's so, you know, systemic and endemic in who I am. But the truth is I've never once sinned and thought, wow, that was awesome. Like that was good for me. Nor has anybody else sinned against someone else and went, no, that was really great. It's just not how we were designed. And I often say to my students, I say, you know, we often start in Genesis 3 with the fall. You got to start in Genesis 1, where God created us and said, this is good. And this is what we were designed for, fellowship with God. And the brokenness and sin that we experience isn't what we were made for. It's our souls know it every time. And when I do something that I know to be wrong, I feel it in the depths of who I am. And that's a good thing because it does mean that I can turn when it's my own actions. I can turn from that. I can repent. I can turn to God and say, man, I blew it. And God can say, you did. Let's talk about it. Let's fix this. Because we were designed for holiness. I know that's scary to people, like, I'm not holy. You were made for that. And Paul calls Christians saints at every turn. He's like, to the saints at Corinth. And they weren't saintly. But he's saying, ontologically, your identity is a person in whom Christ dwells. That makes you holy. And that's what you were designed for.
Wow. Who needs to hear this today? Somebody text me. We got some amens that have come in. People are loving this so much. We've got to go to break here. This dear one says, I'm beginning to trust God that he who made me to be, who he made me to be is enough, even when the opposition is great. Just trying to navigate a right spirit and seeking more tools and community. Talking to Dr. James Bryan Smith, his beautiful book is The Good and Beautiful You. Discovering the person Jesus created you to be. If you've got questions, send them in. We got one more segment left with Jim here. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute.
I don't have to search hard to find you. I don't have to reach far to touch you. Standing in.
I pray that you're having a really great day and finding some encouragement here today as I talk with Dr. James Bryan Smith about his beautiful new book, The Good and Beautiful You, Discovering the Person Jesus Created You to Be. And we've been walking through a list of 10 things that our souls cannot endure. But because the hour has gone so fast, I'm going to leave the next three. You'll have to read the book to find out, right? Because I want to jump over to the 10 things our souls absolutely need. And that top one is to see our bodies as sacred. And I know for some that makes them brace a little bit, going, that doesn't feel right. But Scripture does talk about that. And as I mentioned earlier, the physiological implications of self-contempt are terrible for our health. So say, if you would, a little bit more about the idea that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and it really does matter that we see ourselves that way.
Yeah, I mean, that's that wonderful verse you just quoted, you know, that we were knit together in our mother's womb, that we've been fearfully and wonderfully made. That just sings, you know. That verse is just full of life and truth, because that is the reality. I believe that every person was designed perfectly, and that God intended for us to be in the form that we're in. And our bodies are wonderful. There's a lot of body shaming in the world that we live in. It's just epidemic. But we are made beautifully. I mean, I can't even understand how my spleen works. I don't even get it. Mm-hmm. I have no idea, but it's important, I think. I mean, it's just, mm-hmm. It's phenomenal. Our bodies are doing these amazing things all the time, every second of the day. And the fact that you and I are talking, that our tongues are making words and our ears are hearing it, and we're communicating, that our brains understand words, that we have memory. And this is just, we're just miracles. We're walking miracles, and we're sacred beings. And we know this instinctively. And any time we experience harm, we just know this is not right. And when someone values us and treats us with respect, our souls know that this is right.
Mm, boy, that's so good. And also the next one was to be wanted and desired. And I love this. You said, next time you participate in communion, think on the truth that you are one in whom Christ dwells and delights. I don't know that very many believers really do sit with the idea that Jesus desires me. You know, that God is not, we sing about he is for me, but if you think he's for you, he has to be. He's God and he's my Father, but he actually desires you. Talk if you would about that, because just that alone, especially for someone who's never been pursued before, done all the pursuing, that might be one thing that absolutely heals their soul.
It is. So, I mean, we can quote John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And we can say, well, yeah, I guess, you know, love, because he has to, he's God, he loves. But does he like me? Like, does he desire, does he see me with joy? Does he look at me with eyes of love? And that's very hard for us, because we've just got layers of shame and horrible things people have said, horrible things we've said to ourselves, as you've pointed out, Susie. And it's very hard for that message to get through. That's why that phrase that I sort of accidentally said it in a class about 15 years ago. I just said, a student was like, well, how does Christ see us? How does God look at us? And I said, we're people in whom Christ dwells and delights. And the entire class started writing that sentence down. It was like, ooh, I thought, what did I just say? Absolutely every student, there was 35 students in the class, they all started writing. And I went, what? And then one student just said, what did you say? And I said, I actually don't know. What did I say?
Somebody who took notes, tell me. Keep going.
Yeah. This young man sitting in the front row, his name's Chris. He's now a medical doctor. He's a surgeon. But he was sitting in the front row, and he raised his hand. He said, well, Dr. Smith, you just said, we're people in whom Christ dwells and delights. And I went, yeah, that, you know, because it is, he delights in us. He absolutely delights in us the way that we, you know, the way I delight in my own children. I saw my daughter today. She came on campus. I hadn't seen her in a while. She came in campus. I just lit up. And that's what God does. He lights up at us. And it's just hard for us to believe it, but we, by faith, have to just live into it.
Live into it. One of the things you said a little bit ago was we're divinely designed and divinely desired. And somebody grabbed hold of that and texted it back in quotes. Wow, divinely designed and divinely desired. What if you just sat with that and pondered that? And it does seem, Jim, that, you know, I don't know who said it first. If the devil can't make you bad, he makes you busy. And that sounds cliche, but it's just really true, because it does take stillness and reflection to just grab one of those truths and sit with it so it can kind of get into your soul. And I know you've been someone who's really practiced that, and I have as well. But say a word, if you would, just how profound and powerful it can be to create some space to go, I'm going to lean into this, as you say.
Yeah, that's what I do. I talked about, I call it my mirror time, where I look into the face of Jesus. And that's just a regular practice for me. It's my favorite part of the day. I set aside whatever I can on that day. If I'm lucky, it's more than a half hour. If it's 10 minutes, I'll take 10. But I just sit quietly with Jesus and let him tell me he loves me and listen. And I tell him that I love him. And it is just so life-giving. And I need that. My soul just lights up. It comes to life, and I feel a lot of energy. And then the great thing is then I go give that out. You know, I can go give that to other people. And that's my prayer in that prayer time is, all right, God, let me go and see if I can look with eyes of love on everybody I see today. If I can look at them like you do, if I can do that today for them, then we got something going on.
So good. We're talking about we only have a few minutes left, but the 10 things our souls need to see our body as sacred, to be wanted and desired, to be loved without condition, to be intimately connected to God, to be forgiven forever. And we talked about being empowered to adventure. I want to jump ahead to this one, to own my story. Wow, unpack that one.
Yeah, this was the hardest chapter to write, Susie, because I'm really writing there to say, look, all of us really want to know that the story of our life matters. And most of us have experienced some pain, some trauma, some brokenness, divorce, neglect, abandonment, abuse, trauma, big T's and little T traumas. And it's hard to look at our life and say, yeah, God was with this. God was doing something in this. And yet I also know, as I look back on my life, that even those painful, traumatic experiences, God can, as we know in Romans 8:28, God can take everything and turn it into something good, even the most painful ones, if we actually invite God into that pain and invite him into that experience. And I tell the story of my own daughters with her permission. She wanted me to tell it. She was physically assaulted, and it was a sexual assault that was very painful in her life. And yet she was able, through counseling, to get to a place where her counselor invited Jesus to come be in that moment, because she was so ashamed that she said, her counselor asked, where was Jesus in your experience? And she said, I didn't want him there. I was ashamed. And she had this powerful healing experience of allowing Christ to say, I was there. You didn't want me there, but I'm there. And the healing happens. And so the need to see that my story, even in its brokenness, that it is a sacred story that I'm a part of, is a deep need of our souls.
Boy, and I'm so sorry that happened. I can only imagine, as a father, we have all sons, but I'm trying to imagine as a dad, a tender dad, an attentive dad to a daughter. I can't even imagine that, how that was traumatic for you as well, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't know for, she kept it, she was so ashamed, she kept hidden for years. Mm. And so when she finally did share it, it was, you're right, Susie, it was devastating to my wife and I. And we've had to also deal with that. That was a trauma for us. So
exactly.
It's so beautiful when Christ steps in even to those situations and can begin to restore our soul through that.
So true. And he is the Redeemer, and he's in the process of doing that for all of us. And the enemy would love to isolate us, to make us think we're the ones who are broken beyond repair, but everybody's broken. Everybody's had trauma. But we know the healer, and he's good at it. We just got about a Amen. Minute and a half left. Say a word, if you would, about being called to a life of purpose, glorified to live forever. I know that's a lot, but just whatever you want to say about those last two points.
Yeah, I mean, similar to wanting our story to matter. I mean, we want our lives to matter. If you were to say to someone, and you should never say it, but I mean, if someone were to say, you know, you don't matter, you don't count, your life didn't, it was nothing. That's so painful, because instinctively we know that we were designed to do something. And I believe we're designed to give glory to God. That's what we were all designed to do. But the idea that that my life, that I'm called to something, a life with purpose and meaning, that's just deeply embedded in the nature of our souls. Everybody has it. And fortunately, most of us will find that. I found it. I know you found it, Susie. I'm so grateful that I found a way for my life to make a difference. But that's what we're called for. And then finally, I mean, we're called to be glorified. And that was Paul's promise. So when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. We're meant to glow. Our souls know that we're unceasing spiritual beings. I think our souls deeply know that. I think it's my flesh that's afraid of dying, but we just know somehow this is not it. This life is, we're here for a time, but we're called to an eternal kind of life where we'll still be making a difference, still be creating, and that's deeply embedded in us as well.
Well, Jim, I just appreciate you so much, and thank you for joining us today. And friends, thank you for joining us. We're going to leave that drawing open on the good and beautiful you. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.